This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for Wednesday, April 5th. I'm Curtis Fox. In the current issue of Poetry Magazine, the editors have done something that they've rarely done in that magazine's history. They've dedicated the entire issue to translation. Poems by Brecht and Borges rub up against an erotic Sanskrit lyric and a mysterious little poem by the Roman Emperor Hadrian. The translators include W.S. Merwin, Seamus Heaney, Marilyn Hacker, Dana Joya, many others. Every Wednesday this month on the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, we're going to hear one of those translations. Today, a poem by Wisława Szymborska, the contemporary Polish poet who has been charming readers for years with her chatty, yet somehow deeply moving poems. Wisława Szymborska was born in Poland in 1923. For many years, she worked for a weekly literary magazine, where she built her reputation as a poet, book reviewer, and translator of French poetry. In 1996, she received the Nobel Prize for Literature. She lives in Krakow, and that's about all you need to know about Szymborska's biography to begin understanding her poetry. It's not that her poetry is simple, as her translator Claire Kavanaugh explains.
She's not what people think of as a traditional lyric poet. She doesn't write about herself, or if she does it so obliquely and indirectly that you can't extrapolate very much from it at all. You can go through all of her poetry and find out basically that she had parents and a sister and hints at a few other connections, and that's it.
The Szymborska poem that Claire Kavanaugh translated for the April issue of Poetry Magazine is called Consolation. It's about the great evolutionary biologist Charles Darwin.
Not even talking directly about Darwin, it's talking about what Darwin did when he wanted to take a break from being Darwin.
According to Szymborska's poem, in his downtime, Darwin liked to read Victorian novels with happy endings.
This is what's really typical for Szymborska. It's giving you an angle that's completely unlike anything you'd expect. A poem that begins Darwin, it's going to be some sort of meditation on evolution or something like that. It's not. It's not at all. It's about what Darwin did on his days off.
So let's hear Consolation by Wisława Szymborska, translated by Stanisław Baranczak and Claire Kavanaugh. Our reader is Charlotte Mayer.
Darwin. They say he read novels to relax, but only certain kinds. Nothing that ended unhappily. If anything like that turned up, enraged, he flung the book into the fire. True or not, I'm ready to believe it. Scanning in his mind so many times and places, he'd had enough of dying species, the triumphs of the strong over the weak, the endless struggles to survive, all doomed sooner or later. He'd earned the right to happy endings, at least in fiction, with its diminutions. Hence, the indispensable silver lining, the lovers reunited, the families reconciled, the doubts dispelled, fidelity rewarded, fortunes regained, treasures uncovered, stiff-necked neighbors mending their ways, good names restored, greed daunted, old maids married off to worthy parsons, troublemakers banished to other hemispheres, forgers of documents tossed down the stairs, seducers scurrying to the altar, orphans sheltered, widows comforted, pride humbled, wounds healed over, prodigal sons summoned home, cups of sorrow thrown into the ocean, hankies drenched with tears of reconciliation, general merriment and celebration. And the dog Fido, gone astray in the first chapter, turns up, barking gladly, in the last.
Charlotte Mayer reading Wisława Szymborska's poem Consolation, which was translated from the Polish by Stanisław Baranczak and Claire Kavanaugh. I asked Claire Kavanaugh if she did any fact-checking on that poem before she translated it. Did she look to see if it was actually true that Darwin liked to read novels with happy endings?
You know, to be perfectly honest, I didn't bother. Because to me, the poem is about Szymborska thinking about Darwin.
I know. In the poem, she doesn't really care whether it's true.
No. She says, true or not, I'm ready to believe it.
Yeah. This is basically, that's her start to the poem. She's going to start that way, no matter whether it's true or not. That's
right, because it makes sense to her.
Uh-huh.
This is this classic Szymborska. She's a poet who's interested in storytelling and in narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why she's interested in storytelling and in narrative is not literary, per se, She's doing what she always says, and she says, why do human beings want or need certain kinds of stories? And here she's taking one of the great storytellers of the 19th century, whose huge narrative for how life on Earth evolved is still one of the central and most argued about stories in the world today, saying, well, what kind of stories did this guy need? You know, he'd come up with this huge story that encompassed all of life on Earth. Why did he need these kinds of novels on his days off? I mean, she's basically saying what he liked on his days off would be the equivalent of, like, well, I don't want to say sitcoms, but like a really good soap opera.
Or beach reading.
Yeah, beach reading. Yeah, yeah. But he was doing the equivalent of beach reading.
Yeah.
Where the endings are foreordained. And this is classic Szymborska, is that we the world is full of unpredictable endings.
But what does this say? What does this poem say about the necessity we seem to have for illusions? We seem to need illusions in order to get through life. That's what I kind of took away from the poem.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what she's saying. And what she does, which I really like, is she's very sympathetic about it. She's saying this is a common ground of humanity, not that we're all, you know, she's not being some existentialist saying strip away the illusions and let's look at, you know, naked life the way it is. She's saying, isn't that amazing how human beings use their imaginations to create connections and give the world some semblance of meaning?
Mm-hmm.
And that this is something that we can find in common between ourselves and everybody else.
Now, isn't she sort of gently making fun of Victorian fiction, the conceits of Victorian fiction?
Well, gently making fun of it, but very affectionately, because she adores Victorian fiction.
Mm.
She loves Dickens. She has a poem that begins, I like Dickens better than Dostoevsky.
Mm-hmm. So you've met her many times.
Yeah.
What's she like?
Oh, she's wonderful. She's very shy. Shy isn't even the right word. She's very, very private. Being her friend means you stop talking business at the door. And lots of her friends aren't poets or writers or anything like that at all. And she has an incredibly goofy kind of frat boy sense of humor.
Really?
In her apartment, she loves sending people into the bathroom for the first time because it's one of those European water closet kind of things where the tank is up above, not down below.
Uh-huh.
And there's this big bloody rubber arm coming out of the tank trying to reach down for the toilet pole. She's just this wonderful character. She's just lovely.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like anybody I've ever met.
It must be difficult to translate the poem to somebody who's still around to read the translation, no?
She doesn't know English, though, so she doesn't read the translation.
Yeah. So what difficulties did you have, if any, in translating this poem?
The one thing where I think people can get her wrong is if they try and make her poetic. She's somebody who's incredibly sensitive to what register every word belongs in.
Mm-hmm.
And if she uses any recognizably poetic word, it's because she's trying to signal poetic diction and distance you from it. And so whenever people feel like, you know, they have a choice between a common colloquial word and a poetic word and go for the poetic word in Szymborska, they're kind of missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that where I think you can really go off kilter with her translating, is not catching that kind of light irony that she uses kind of to surround all sorts of different types of language, you know, whether it's legalese or bureaucratese or poetese.
Claire Kavanagh talking about Wisława Szymborska and her poem Consolation. You can read the poem in the April issue of Poetry Magazine. The magazine also has a website, poetrymagazine.org. And you can find poetry news, articles, features, and audio at its sister website, poetryfoundation.org. Tomorrow on the poetryfoundation.org podcast, a portrait of Samuel Menashe, who writes very short, very spare, almost sculpted poems.
It's as if I sculpted a statue which remained in my studio, and I passed it one morning and suddenly saw I could do some more work on the head and neck.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please tell your friends about it, and please review it on iTunes or in your favorite podcast directory. We want as many people to hear it as possible. Also, we really do want to know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. Or you can also leave a voice message at 718-857-1821. The music used in this podcast is from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.